Lansing police continue investigating a string of recent shootings. Over the course of 9 days in August, the city logged 9 shootings. Lansing Police Chief Michael Yankowski has referred to the shootings as an anomaly, especially since department data show double-digit decreases in both violent crime and homicides from 2013 to this year. How is the city's violent crime initiative working? To discuss LPD's crime effort and other developments at LPD, Current State welcomes back Lansing Police Chief Mike Yankowski. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Mark.
To start here, I want to touch on the Eastern High School situation. An Eastern High School senior was arraigned on rape charges on Wednesday for an alleged attack that happened on school property, if I understand this correctly, on Tuesday, outside apparently. What can you tell us about the I realize the case has gone to the prosecutor. What can you tell us about the department's investigation into that?
Well, as soon as the Lansing Police Department got a call for service, we met with the victim and started the investigation at that point in time. Certainly, through the investigation, there was probable cause to make an arrest, and we did arrest a 17-year-old student for a crime of a sexual assault crime. He was arrested that night, and he was arraigned the following day. And at this point in time, it is in the hands of the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office for a review.
You're a key figure here on the Violent Crime Initiative, the VCI for Lansing, that was launched last year, really, in Lansing, if I understand this correctly. There have been various iterations of this Violent Crime Initiative here over the last few years. Given that, what do you make of this spate of 9 shootings in 9 days that the city experienced recently? Is the initiative not working?
No, I think it's quite the opposite. We have been extremely excited about the progress we have made with violent crime, not only here in the city of Lansing, but in the capital area. Certainly when you have 9 shootings in 9 days, you take a step back and evaluate where are we at this point in time in this type of initiative. But we're extremely pleased on the progress that we've made. The initial numbers that have come out here in 2014, running right up until August 1st, we've had 11% decrease in violent crime. We have had a 25% reduction in homicides, and we've seen a 14% decrease in property crimes, which a lot of times are just the precursor of what happens with our youth, is that they start with property crimes and move on into violent crimes. But more specifically, the violent crimes or the homicides that we've been able to affect and reduce is at street level, that drug-related, that gang-related, that retaliation, disagreement type of homicides, robberies. Those are the ones that we've been able to influence so much going all the way back to September of 2013. So in 2014, we've had 2 of those street-level type homicides. The others have been all over the board, meaning domestic, meaning disagreements. We had one where we had a homeless assault that we worked through earlier in the year. But it's the street-level ones that we believe law enforcement has the most impact on. And that's where that violent crime initiative, where we've really had surges starting back in April of 2013, we've had significant arrests and been able to dismantle several organizations during that time frame. The stats with our violent crime initiative, not only here in the city of Lansing, but with our partners, our federal, our state, our county, and local partners, we really have put together significant progresses in reducing violent crime, not only in the city of Lansing, but in the capital area, Ingham, Clinton, Eaton County.
What, if anything, have you learned from the August incidents, though? I realize a lot of those were not the kind of violent street crime that you're referring to, but what do you take away from what did happen in August?
Well, you know, we've had experiences with crime spikes, whether it be shootings, whether it be home invasions, larceny from vehicles. We know historically that we'll go through a time period that the crime is much higher than the normal day-to-day operations of what we see. In this particular stretch, there was a homicide that resulted during that time frame, and we do believe that one of those shootings was a retaliation for that homicide. We also realized that there was another incident in which we believe that a beef, a disagreement resulted in a few returning of gunfire at a different location in a short time frame. During these nine shootings, there was five injuries or five victims that had been injured by gunfire, and then there was four that were a result of just property damage. There was no rhyme or reason. There was no connection to the other, call it six to seven shootings. They were just reports of shots fired into a residence, whether it was, again, somebody trying to send a message to somebody or a disagreement between neighbors. They were really all over the board, other than, for example, two to three of those were what we believe to be retaliation-style shootings.
Lansing Police Chief Mike Yankowski is our guest here today on Current State. You have said that young males, 14 to 28 years of age, are often the shooters in these incidents and may be involved disproportionately in these crimes. How does the Violent Crime Initiative try to reach that age group to address this?
Yeah, the Violent Crime Initiative really focuses on the small percentage of those that are creating criminal havoc in our community. So we know that 90% of the community is law-abiding citizens that follow the laws and really are a positive in our community. Then we have that 10% that have chosen the life of criminal enterprising and believe that they need to accomplish what they need to by committing property crimes or violent crimes in our communities. So what we've really tried to focus on is our resources, not only here in the city of Lansing, but collaborating with all our other regional partners and utilizing intelligence and crime data and focusing on those individuals that are committing those crimes. So it's a two-prong approach for us. We realize that we have an enforcement piece, a proactive, focused, intelligence-based police resource that we're identifying those individuals and trying to take them off the streets. That's where the enforcement component comes in. The second component is the education and the crime prevention and the community engagement component. Recently, we have started a program called GREAT. GREAT stands for Gang Resistance and Education Training. We have trained nine of our police officers to go into the schools at the fourth grade and sixth grade and teach them this program, this education. It's a 13-week program that Lansing police officers have collaborated with the Lansing School District, and we teach them about making good choices and showing them that there's a better way of settling your differences than picking up a handgun to settle that difference. And so last year, we had a program in January that we, again, put eight police officers into our schools, and they successfully graduated here in the May. And we're continuing that program here in the school year 2014-15. In addition, we have a summer component to that. We were very fortunate to team up with Shaheen Chevrolet and Central Michigan Graphics. We have a van called the Sportsmobile, and we held 16 events this summer out into the neighborhoods and playgrounds of the city of Lansing, where we engaged our youth in a different light, in a non-confrontational, non-enforcement way. We had basketball tournaments. We had Nene dance competitions. We showed them how to play baseball. We took them out on the Riverwalk with bicycles, and we just engaged them in a different way. GREAT is all about engaging our youth before they get to that level where we believe that they might not be able to be saved. We want to make sure that they're getting a solid foundation at a younger age and teaching them how to stay away from violent crime and being, you know, part of the problem. We want them to be part of the solution. We want them to stay in school. We want them to get their education. You know, we want them to go on to college, or we want them to be a productive member of our society, and we have to do that at a younger age. So that's the focus. We know that so many of our youth, you know, they get to that point where they're either going to turn to the path of good or the path of evil, and that's where we want to make sure we get ahead of that curve proactively.
Speaking of efforts at combating violence or preventing violence at or near schools, a volunteer initiative dubbed School Watch was launched recently. Tell us about that, please.
Yep. School Watch is, again, another component of the city of Lansing recognizing Mayor Virge Bonero is very strong feelings about our school safety. And the Lansing Police Department, along with the city of Lansing, treats our youth as a number one priority for their safety. School Watch is a citizen volunteer program, an extra set of eyes and ears in our neighborhoods, in and around our schools, specifically our three high schools. And it is a citizen volunteer program where between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. in the morning and 2 and 4 p.m. in the evening, they are out there walking on foot. We have a vehicle that is decaled up. This is School Watch. We've partnered with the Lansing School District and Sparrow Health Systems, have donated money to get this program up and running. And these are citizen volunteers that really are providing that extra set of eyes and ears. It's a non-confrontational, it's a non-enforcement component. It's also a way for our volunteers to mentor and really engage our youth in a positive way. And just making sure that they're safe going to and from school. And that is a priority here for the City of Lansing, the Lansing Police Department. Our youth, the safety of our youth is the number one priority.
You're relying on volunteers here for the success of the School Watch. Are you getting the number of volunteers that you need to really make it work?
Yeah, I would say that we have a small group of volunteers at this point in time. We are constantly looking for more volunteers. We do have volunteers up and running right now, and we have just started another training program where we're going to be training, I believe, another 10 to 12 next week. But it's a volunteer program. We ask that anyone that is interested in joining this School Watch, it's a call for action. It's a community civic duty to provide. All we're asking is really almost an hour a day just to be an extension of what we call Neighborhood Watch and Business Watch. School Watch is a program that you're an extra set of eyes and ears. You pick up the phone. We have a cell phone. They have safety vests. We're not asking them to get engaged in any type of, enforcement action, to stick your nose into something that might be brewing. We ask that you pick up that phone. But we believe the interaction between our volunteers and our youth is really that proactive piece. So anyone that is interested in joining School Watch, we ask that they call 483-6812.
After the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, the violence and the unrest in Ferguson, there have been a great deal of fallout for the police in general, for law enforcement in general across the country. And one of the issues is just the generally negative view of police authorities that exists in a lot of communities. Is that an issue in Lansing? How would you generalize about the view people in neighborhoods have toward the Lansing police right now? Generally good, generally in need of improvement, what?
No, I think it's generally a very good outlook on what most of our citizens believe that the Lansing Police Department, the service that they're providing, the relationship that they have, and that is a credit to the police and community partnership philosophy that we have. Community policing is a foundation for the Lansing Police Department. There's two foundations that we go on every single day, and that's police legitimacy and community policing. The mission statement of the Lansing Police Department is to maintain order and to protect and serve the community, but also to maintain those relationships and to foster a better quality of life for those that work, live, and visit in the city. And in the relationships that we have through our community policing program, we have 6 community policing officers, and we're going to be expanding that into 10 throughout the rest of 2014. But also the engagement components that we have, exactly with the GREAT program, with Neighborhood Watch, which is a foundation that we have over 187 neighborhood watches, 36 neighborhood organizations, and it's those day-to-day interactions that we have that really provide that foundation. I think that the relationship between any police department and its community, you're constantly working on those every single day. And it is truly a partnership. The police play a role in keeping our community safe, and the community plays a role in keeping it safe. So when we talk about some of the issues that we have, everyone plays a role in that. And whether that's joining Neighborhood Watch, whether that's joining School Watch, whether it's just picking up the phone and providing information when you see something or you're a witness to a crime, providing that information to the police department in a timely manner is very important.
Lansing Police Chief Mike Yankowski is our guest here today on Current State on WKAR. Let's turn to marijuana dispensaries for a minute. A number of illegal marijuana dispensaries have popped up recently in Lansing. How is LPD approaching this?
Well, as you've seen over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, medical marijuana statutes at the federal, state, and local levels have been constantly changing. And currently, right now, there's legislation pending that would, again, make dispensaries legal here in the state of Michigan. So as we continue to work through a lot of these issues, we as a police department look at the enforcement component of it. So we have had several investigations at some of the locations throughout the city of Lansing. The city of Lansing has had an ordinance that is ready to go if the dispensaries and the legislation changes here in the coming months.
And this really sits in the state legislature. That is what you, in a sense, are waiting to happen, is for the legislature to resolve this.
Yes, between city attorney and prosecutor's office and the attorney general at the state and federal levels, the confusion on the current laws are still a battle for any local law enforcement agency here in the state of Michigan. So we're constantly reviewing what the laws are and what the pending legislation is, because it's constantly changing. We know that with the medical marijuana issues that we have, there is an enforcement component to that when it's applicable. And when we get those complaints, we do investigate those, and we do then send them on to the prosecutor's office for review.
We are, unfortunately, near the end of our time here, but I have to ask you, as a law enforcement professional, I have to ask you about this intense discussion of the militarization of local police departments. We're talking about armored vehicles, MRAPs, assault rifles, bayonets, and on. In your view, are local police departments justified in having equipment like this?
Well, certainly that equipment is important to some of the day-to-day operations, but also the tactical operations. For example, the city of Lansing Police Department has utilized some of the military 1033 program. But some of the things that we've gotten from the military are winter gear. We've gotten rifles that we've converted for our honor guard. We do have a tactical vehicle that our tactical team uses in certain situations. In today's day and world, there are situations that we need that equipment for the right situation. You got to remember that this equipment and this utilization of the equipment, there's a proper place, there's a proper time, and that police officers need to be protected also.
For all of it, though, Mike? I mean, for bayonets? I mean, would you have a use for bayonets,
well,
for example?
You know, the Lansing Police Department
doesn't have
bayonets.
I'm not saying you have them, but some departments do.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, you have to have the right mentality for what equipment are you utilizing that for. Certain agencies have chosen to use more of the military equipment than us. I think that there's a proper time and a place for some of the equipment that we are obtaining from the military, that during these tough budget economic times, we can't afford a tactical vehicle. But that is a very important component when you get into a active violent situation. If you have a barricaded gunman, if you have an active violent situation in a business or in a school, you need to have some of those tools. But there's a proper place, and there's a proper way of utilizing that equipment.
Is there a place for bayonets?
Well, I can't say there's a place for the Lansing Police Department in utilizing a bayonet. No.
But there may be in others?
Well, I only control what the Lansing Police Department does, and I tell you that there's not a place for bayonets at the Lansing Police Department. But the military equipment is a useful program that helps many of our agencies get the necessary equipment. And like I said earlier, we were getting winter gear. We were getting rifles that we use for our honor guard that we converted to shoot off blanks. So there's a lot of good positives with the military program, the 1033 program. But again, you have to utilize the equipment when it's appropriate.
We're down to 30 seconds. Chief Yankowski, update how the department's cold case unit is doing briefly, please. Have any cases gone to the prosecutor lately? Do you expect any to go to the prosecutor soon?
Yeah, we have Detective Lee McAllister has been working very hard in putting together a cold case unit. And he has already brought forth one case to the prosecutor's office. It is at the review stage, and he's working on several others that we are hopeful will get to the prosecutor's office soon.
We've been talking about the City of Lansing's Violent Crime Initiative with Lansing Police Chief Michael Yankowski and a host of other issues. Chief Yankowski, many thanks.